Faith for Revival Ministries is excited about sharing with you this Bible message by Evangelist Chris Miller. This message was recorded in one of the many revival services he has preached in churches across America. Our prayer is that this message will be a blessing and will nurture your faith for revival.
Mark chapter 14. Pray that you find that peace that only comes through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and then a very close relationship with Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 14, find your Bibles and turn there in the second book of the New Testament, Mark 14, find verse 3. Mark chapter 14, find verse 3, and then mark your place there and look up this way, and we'll find another verse in just a second. Mark chapter 14, and find verse 3. Mark 14. All right, most everyone has had it. Take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah. Hold your place in Mark 14. That's where we'll spend our time. But look again at Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57, a recurring verse we've seen, talking about being humble and contrite. God is going to revive the one that will be humble, will be contrite before Him. Look at Isaiah 57, verse 15. The Bible says in Isaiah 57:15, it says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit." To revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the spirit of the who? Go ahead and say it with me. To revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the, let's say the last two words, nice and strong, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Contrite means broken. You know, this week I have absolutely thoroughly enjoyed preaching to you. And each of the preachers have said how well you've listened, and you have. It's commendable. You have been enjoyable to be around. Got to know several of you on the sports field or in choir or just being around. And I have absolutely been thrilled about that. I've been thrilled about the decisions that have been made. Just thinking about this week, what if just one person, what the difference would make, one person being fully broken and full surrender to God, and God taking that one life out of this auditorium and using that one person, that one life for His glory. What an incredible impact it could make. Think about now, 400 plus of us here, and many more with staff from the ranch and others that have come in, and that's just tremendous. How about an entire room here? Teenagers from all over, from whatever state, fully broken and fully surrendered. Could you say, "Yeah, I was here"? You know, people say that. Really, at one person, you know, and then it would be great to have entire. It would. And can God really take someone that's fully broken and surrender to Him and do incredible things? Well, in Mark 14, we see a story of a young lady, that is just simply given what she had to God, fully broken, surrendered to Him. And now, every time the gospel is preached, and wherever it goes throughout the entire world, she's mentioned, and it's a memorial, it's a remembrance of what she's done. One life given to God, as she just simply broke a box. Look at Mark chapter 14. Let's look at the story. Mark chapter 14, look at verse 3. The Bible says this, "And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation." They were upset. They were angry within themselves and said, "Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor." And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Tonight the title of the message is A Broken Box. A Broken Box. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, I do ask for your help. I ask for your grace right now. Would you please work in our hearts and our lives as we look into your word tonight. Help us to be open and receptive to it. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. How many of you like different sports? And of course, there's going to be several of you. How many of you like several different kinds of sports? I like several different kinds of sports. Some would say, how many would say basketball would be your sport? Your sport you like, or maybe you're better in. Okay, how many would say football would be my sport? I'm the fan of football. I like football most. That would be my sport. Volleyball. And softball. Yeah. Golf? Anybody? Yeah, golf. Yeah, full contact golf. Yeah. And how about any tennis? Any tennis? You say, kind of like tennis here. You know, I brought not my tennis racket, because I really don't play tennis all that much, but I brought my racquetball racket tonight. And I like playing racquetball. I don't get to play very much, and I'm not very good, but I like to play. One time I played with a pastor in Iowa. He was about literally 6'5", and he weightlifted, and he was very large, not in fat, but in muscle, and he was very athletic, and he was playing with me, and man, he wham, he hit it, boom, wham, boom. He'd come past, he goes, here, put these goggles on. I said, okay, I'll put the goggles on. Because if you don't put the goggles on, then the ball could hit you in your eyeball and go, and pull your eye out. I'm putting the goggles on. You know, okay, all right. I'm putting the goggles on. I'm ready, you know. I'm okay. You know what? Before we could get into it, we had to be able to, you know, he'd get the balls and we were warming up and everything. In fact, to kind of illustrate it, can I get someone to help me out here? I need someone to help me out. Trenton, way back there. Would you help me out? Come on up. Go ahead and kind of jog up here. Get your blood pumping here and jog up here. And okay, here we have Trenton. And do you ever play tennis at all?
Not much.
Not much. All right. Well, welcome to your lesson and your practice. All right, go ahead and stand over there, and here's your lesson with a racquetball racket. And go ahead and put that on if you want to wrap it around your wrist there, so it doesn't fly off and hit me or anything like that. But what we're going to do is we're just going to practice a little bit with the tennis balls here. And you're looking pretty ready there, Trenton. All right, a little nervous. Okay. Tennis. Baseball, no. Not baseball. Okay, so you got tennis. Maybe just one hand on the racket. Are you left-handed? Oh, very good. Good. We're good. Okay. It looked like a tomahawk. Come on. Okay, so here. Okay. Maybe we're going to practice, first of all, you know, kind of like a forehand. You just... Very good. Yeah. You know, in tennis, you usually do the whole arm, you know, and kind of the. There's my notes if you just want to go ahead and take it from here.
No.
But here at racquetball, usually, you know, not all the time you do the whole arm, but you can kind of do it with the wrist a little bit more. But, either way is fine for now because you're kind of cross. You know, the two sports here, we got racquetball and tennis ball. But let's try, first of all, forehand. So go ahead and get your body and maybe a little sideways. Yeah, there you go. And a little sideways towards me. No, the other way, forehand. Okay. All right, go ahead and just get the tennis balls here. Okay, I'll go ahead and have you practice first. Okay, ready? Not bad. Okay, well, things didn't go too well. Didn't go too well here. Okay, go ahead. Let's try a backhand. woo! Yeah. drama should be his calling, I think. Okay, all right. All right, let's try backhand. Let's see if we can do a little bit better this time. Get the ball to me. Okay, get the ball to me. All right, all right. Here we go. Ready? Not bad, not bad. See, Brother Chris, something needs to be happening here. Yes. Before he can really use the tennis ball appropriately, which in this case, I don't know if I ever could, but before you can ever use it appropriately, you have to open it up. Yes. And look here, brand new thing of tennis balls. Seal right on there. And so I got to, first, before we can use the tennis balls, what has to happen to the seal? It has to be... Are you ready? This is great. This is great. Ready? Shh. Listen. That's pretty all right, isn't it? Oh, that's good. That's good. All right, now let's try, see if we can do a little bit better here. All right, see if you can get it to me this time. Okay, let's do the backhand again. You did pretty well with that. Yeah, okay, here we go. Here it goes. I'll just throw it. You hit it. Okay, you hit it. You hit it. Okay, here it goes. We'll try it. Here it goes. Yeah. I didn't know how fast you're going to do it. All right, here we go. Let's do it. One more. Whoa. You put the racket down. All right, let's give him a hand. Brother Redmond, do you play tennis at all? A little bit. And you know, before you can ever get it done, you have to open it up. You have to break it. We're going to see tonight very clearly, again, that God uses, what kind of thing? God uses, go ahead and say it nice and strong for me. God uses broken things. So oftentimes we think something's broken, we put it to the side. We put it on the shelf. But God says, no, in order for you to be used of me, yourself has to be broken. Then in full surrender, given to me. Tonight, we simply be broken and give yourself to God. Let's notice three facts about the box, about the broken box tonight. Number one fact is this. The box had to be broken in order to be used. The box had to be broken in order to be used. Look at verse 3. It says, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she, go ahead and say the next three words with me, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. Now this particular type of perfume, this spikenard and this different ointment here, it is a perfume. It's a very, very valuable, we're going to see, perfume. It's very sweet smelling, obviously, and it would be enjoyed by anybody during this time that would really take the value and purchase something like this. But in order to be able to use it, you had to break the box. It wasn't like in today's time, where you just take a bottle of perfume, you know, you open it up and, you know, or the ladies, right there, a little dab here, behind the ear, right there. Have you ever gone through the perfume department in the mall and the department stores? I hate the perfume department in the malls. I mean, you just go through and everyone's wanting to squirt something on you as you're going through. You're trying to go through with a mask or something, you know, just be able to make it through alive. Well, when you use a perfume bottle, a regular perfume bottle until today's time, well, you use it, you squirt, or cologne, you squirt it on, maybe you dab it a little bit on your fingers or whatever, then you just cap the bottle again. Well, back then, this particular box, this alabaster box, didn't have, you know, here's just a little cap. Here's just something that just is on top. When you broke it, it could be used. But unless you broke it, it could never be used. It could sit on the shelf, and here's something valuable on the shelf, and here's something that's great to look at. And you say, I know inside is an incredible perfume. Boy, it smells beautiful. But unless you take it and break the box, it could never be used. You had to break it in order for it to be used. Tonight, we need to see, before you can be used, you must be broken of yourself. But God's been doing a work this week. There's been ones responding. I want to deal with this sin. I want to deal with that sin. I want victory over this. And it's only through Christ. And you're making great victories. But you know what? Many here still need to simply die to self. Remember on Monday, what did we speak on Monday? It was broken, ready, broken. Broken pitchers. The picture of I want has to be broken. What I want has to be smashed. And say, okay, dear God, what you want. Not the flesh and the lust, but what the Spirit wants, what you want. Tonight, it's what God wants for you. What is God's will for your life? You won't find it until you're broken. The next day on Tuesday, we talked about what? We talked about broken ground. He had to break up that fallow ground, that hard ground. And, or the seed would just simply rest on top and never get inside at all. It's broken ground. You have to confess the sin. By the way, a lot of times equated with brokenness is an emotional response. There's usually, some people will say there's tears. And I believe that would be true. There's a connection emotionally with the matter of brokenness. And you go to James, we can see some things there. And it talks about your joy turning to weeping and crying. And there's a brokenness there. But you know what? You say, well, why don't I feel sorry for my sin? Why don't I feel bad about what I'm... I'm still got my music. I still got my rebellion to my parents. I still got this. I'm not sorry for it. And the reason why there's no emotional connection and the reason there's no emotional or tearful response is because before brokenness, there's something always precedes brokenness. And it's confession. Confession always precedes the brokenness. Saying, dear God, you're right. This is sin. You have to acknowledge it. Saying, I am sinning before you. I haven't been right. And still, that ground is hard. You need to break it up. And someone here, you haven't made a decision, not one, all week. Neither in your seat, nor have you prayed about that decision with someone in the invitation. Hey, tonight, just say, dear God, I need to have a broken heart. No wonder I haven't felt sorry or I haven't been tearful. It's because I simply haven't confessed. You start confessing and going through, and then the soft and the emotional response may come. Some may not. It doesn't matter whether what the emotional response is. It's a matter of confessing and being broken in that way. Then yesterday we also talked about the Passover or the Lord's Supper, and as Christ dealt with his disciples and had the Last Supper with them, he said, here's this bread. And then in 1 Corinthians 11, he says, okay, do this in remembrance of me. Take this bread, which is broken. And he said, this bread is my what? What did he say? This bread is my body, which is broken for you. We talked about the broken body. The broken body, the Lord Jesus Christ, dying for our behalf in our place. And as he was broken for us, God uses broken things. And there, it was Christ dying for us. Tonight, would you see, you have to be broken in order to be used. What if there's a fire tonight? There's a fire tonight in the building. All of a sudden, the sirens go off, and boy, here's the flame starts, you know, on the platform, starts to go off, and there's a large flame, and it's starting to spread, and spread quickly, evacuate. All right, we have a couple men just staying in before the fire department's called, and get them in, and try to fight this fire. Okay, well, where's the fire extinguisher? Okay, all right, go to the fire extinguisher, and perhaps it's behind a glass box. And guy takes a little hammer, whatever it is, and he goes, well, I don't want to do that. That sure is a nice window there. Well, that would make a mess if I did that. Just break it. You have to break it in order to use it. Well, in an urgent situation, you wouldn't think twice. Take it, smash it. Get that and use it and put out the fire. You know what? Tonight, stop hesitating. Just smash and say, okay, whatever of myself that's holding me back from God, I'm going to just be in full surrender to Him. And dear God, here I give you myself. You have to be broken of self in order to be able to be used. Hold your place in Mark chapter 14. Let's turn to one other passage in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and find verse 1. Romans chapter 12 and find verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let's read that verse together until I stop you, okay? Let's read it together. Romans 12, 1. Ready? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Stop right there. You present your bodies a living sacrifice. Have you presented your body? I'm dead to myself. I'm dead to my ambitions. I'm dead to my goals. I'm dead to what I want. And dear God, I'm surrendering all to you. I'm giving everything. Well, doesn't God want my talents and my abilities? Well, sure. God wants your talents here, bro. Doesn't God want my personality? Maybe my personality can be used of God some way. Doesn't God want my great smarts and my education? Or doesn't God want my music? Doesn't God want my sports? But look at verse 1 again. It says this, that you present your what? Present your, go ahead and say it, present your bodies. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know what this means in the Greek? As you do further study and you study several commentaries and you take 2 years of Greek in college and you can do a good background study of this, this simply means bodies. It's exactly what it says. You mean my body? Yeah. Your body is what God wants. Let me ask this. How many here would say, I have a outgoing personality. Some of you have outgoing personalities. You can talk to anybody. You can talk to a stranger. You can talk to a tree and carry on a conversation. That's the kind of person. How many have outgoing personalities? Yeah, they usually raise their hand very quickly. Yeah, that's me. You know, others in here say, no, that's not me. I'm not the outgoing type personality. Let me ask this. How many here would say, Brother Chris, when it comes to school, you know, it's not like a drudgery because I do fairly well at school. Not a 4.0, not a straight A, but, I do fairly well at school. Maybe math and science. I can do those things and don't be embarrassed by it. I can do that. I enjoy it a little bit. At least I do well in school. How many would raise your hands? I do well in school. Okay. Well, pretty good. Pretty good. Others going, no way for me. No. School, I can't even spell that word. Maybe I'll tell you later. I don't know. How about next? How many say here, you know, Brother Chris, I play an instrument, or maybe I like singing in choir. There's some type, I don't know, whatever the guy's name is, and Pavarotti, I at least have some musical ability. I enjoy music to some degree. I have some ability in that way. Can you raise your hand? That's a good number of you. You can put your hands down. Oh, good music. Yeah, that's good. How many say, you know, I'm pretty good at sports, I guess, you know, do well at sports and all those things. See, that's me. I'm the sports kind of guy. Okay, yeah, you can put your hands down. You say, well, wait a minute, Brother Chris. And you mentioned those four areas, personality or education, the smarts, and your music or your sports. And, I may have a little bit in one area, but really it's not a whole bunch, you know, even in those four areas. Personality? No, I can't talk to anybody. You know, you talked about the outgoing people talking to a tree. I am the tree. How are you doing? Fine. You're trying to get it out. You know, it's difficult for you to even say anything. Education, you say, no, that's out the window. You know, I can't spell school. I couldn't spell university until my spell check helped me out today. One N or two. Okay, university. All right. It's typical, you know. You know, some of you, if you get a C on your report card, you think it's for correct. Whoa, doing pretty good. Yeah. Don't get many B's. They must be for bad. D, yeah, I get D. Those are dynamite. Yeah, fabulous. Yeah. Thank you. I'll write that one down. Yeah, fabulous. A, don't get any of those. Must be for ignorant. Brother Chris, I didn't get the joke. I don't have that. Sports? No, sports. It's not me, you know, in sports. No, it's not me. I can't do sports. Not me, not sports. You know, they think I'm the ball when I go out there. I come out, youth activity, oh, big ball. Because the way I'm shaped, you know. And, oh, no, hey, I'm not the ball, you know. I'm not the ball, you know. I don't have good music. I don't have good sports ability. Music? No, I don't play an instrument. I have a hard time with the radio, you know. Singing? No. Have you ever seen the Muppets? I sing like Kermit the Frog. It's not easy being green, you know. I don't do well. I tried singing in the shower once, and the shower stopped. Things do not bode well in my home when I start singing, you know. No, I don't have that. I said, Brother Chris, I could hardly raise my hand for any of those things, let alone a combination of the four. Let me ask this, how many of you have... It's a difficult question, but I know. How many of you have a body? Some of you are having a hard time with that one, too. help your neighbor, okay? Yeah. It's not much of a body for some of you, I can tell. Yeah. Not much of a body. But I've got a body. You know what God wants tonight? He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your what?
Bodies.
Your bodies. Man, I can wear what I want. I can do what I want. I can put things in my body what I want. Why do we have a difficulty with that? Because there are two different ones that want your body. Satan does. He knows that just like in the New Testament times and such, they had bond servants. They could show it on the body. God wants your body given to Him completely, full surrender. And when He gets your body, He gets your personality and your music and your sports and your intellect or the lack thereof. God gets it all. Tonight, say, dear God, I want to give you myself. Some of you, you've never done that. Just say, dear God, here I am. I want to give you me. And I want to just say, here it is. No reservation. No reserves. No reserves for me. Nothing held back. No compromises. I present your body. Well, how do you do it? As a sacrifice. Not a sacrifice that's going to die, but a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Nothing held back. No compromise in that. I remember speaking to a teenager down at Cowboytown some years ago, and God was working his heart. He thought God had called him to preach, but he wanted to be a pilot. He was about 15, 16 years of age. He already had his own glider. He had flown several times in bats, flown several times in other planes as an assistant or what he could do, whatever it was at that age he could do. He had done it. He wanted to be a commercial flight pilot. Make big bucks with that. He loved planes. He could tell me any type of plane. He thought he was called to be a preacher, but he wanted to be a pilot. I remember talking to him in Cowboytown, and he's got his ice cream there, and he's eating. Bro, Chris, yeah, I want to be a pilot. I think maybe God's calling me a preacher, but I think and I really want to be a pilot. He's eating ice cream. It's running down his fingers. I'm going, ooh, you know, it's just dripping down here. And he's talking to me, yeah, I want to be a pilot. You know what I could do, Brother Chris? I could be a pilot, and then I could hand out tracts. Maybe God then will let me do that. If I can be a pilot, I'll hand out tracts. And I'll do it at the beginning of the flight. You know, so if we crash, you know, they can read it before. That was a good idea. Yeah, that's good. That's nice. Thoughtful. But, you know, I could stand there and I could give out tracts and come, welcome to the flight. You might die. Take this. Pleasant flying. And I could do that. What was he doing? He was trying to make a compromise. Oh, I don't know. Christian college? Lord put in my heart to mention Christian college before two preachers did today. I believe God's working in many hearts and saying, okay, I need to give that over. If you haven't done that, you're not willing to say, okay, dear God, I'll go to Christian college. Okay, dear God, I'll be willing to do it. Well, why should I? Well, there's a couple of reasons. You know, during the Christian college time, the college time is one of your most influential times in your life. Talking about influence, college age years are when you're really developing many of your decisions and your convictions, making decisions on your own. It's an incredibly influential time in your life in the developing of your mind and of your life. Don't just put your mind under secular influence like that. Oh, I can be strong enough. You know, they may teach evolution. They may give me a hard time about being a creationist and believer, but I can be strong. I can do it. You know, another good reason you could choose Christian college and be willing to do that is you make lifelong friends there. You know, Brother Redland was asking this morning how many friends you have from high school and that are godly, and he's asking the different men. And I said, well, some. And I thought, you know, there's two that I could name. And as it kept going, I thought, well, probably just even one. And then there, you know, consistent? No. If you ask me, hey, do you write your friends? If I'm real good in a year, I may send a Christmas card to those two guys. Do you call them? No, not really. How about the guys from college? Yeah. Talk to them a lot. Call them a lot. We exchange cards or birthday cards. Some of them I'm working with even in the ministry and coming here at the ranch. I have lifelong friends from college time. Why don't you make those type of friends at a Christian college? Good, solid, influential friends that'll help you. And at college, I did have some good friends that helped me. You know, for me, college years were the greatest time of growth in my life. Spiritually growth. Also physical. You know, by the time I was a senior in college, I was shaving. 3 times a week. Yep, there it goes. Growing up there. You know, spiritually, I made key decisions. I remember making in my freshman year when an evangelist came named Pete Rice, and he preached on being dead to sin, just like we heard this week. And I made a decision then, dear God, help me to be dead to sin. I first, for the first time, understood that. Boy, it changed. I remember praying with someone about that. That was influential, incredible. I led my first soul to Christ when I was in college. It was tremendous. A little boy on just a Bible time extension, and it was just great. I remember his name is Freddie, 8-year-old boy. He trusted Christ. I was so excited, man. I was calling everybody, man, Mama Dad, this is great. I'm being able to win someone to Christ. He's going to be in heaven someday. This is super. I was making incredible things. Why? Because I went to a Christian college. Tonight, don't you say, dear God, I'm going to give it all to you. My ambitions, my dreams, my wants, my all, myself. And I just give it to you. You have to be broken to self to be able to be used. The rocks had to be broken. No reserves. You know what? Second fact about the box. Look at Mark chapter 14. Look at Mark chapter 14. Let's just read it again. Verse 3. Mark chapter 14, it says, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, As he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. When she poured it on his head, she poured all of it on his head. The second fact we're going to see is this, is the box could not be repaired after it was broken. I know we can't see all of that from this passage, but as we study and see about this alabaster box, we understand that to be true. Number two fact is the box could not be repaired after it was broken. It couldn't be repaired. You couldn't put the box back together. It's not like, okay, well, I'll just place the pieces back together and I'll reseal it. I'll just put the seal back on because it just came with a nice little good seal there and it's good to go. No, it didn't happen that way. When you broke the box, it couldn't be repaired. You couldn't go back. There's no retreat. No retreat, that means no going back. You say, okay, here it is. I was asking, if you play tennis, I don't play tennis all that much or often. Once you break that seal, and you do so, you say, "Well, I want to break the seal. I'll just break the seal now, open it now, and I'll play with these tennis balls next year." For all the tennis ball players, is that going to work well? You say, "No. There's something there because of the vacuum and the freshness there, keeping the balls there." You don't do that when you playing a game, especially if you're competing, you're going to use a brand new thing. Once you break it, it's never used again. You have to use it up. You have to go ahead and say, use it up. Here she is, she's breaking the box, and she had to use it up. She can't just say, well, I'll save for later. She had to use it all. No retreats, no going back on it. Now, I was trying to think of another illustration. What would be a good illustration of something being broken and you couldn't put it back? You know, you couldn't put it back together. Then I thought of an egg. An egg, this is good. I like this. I thought, oh, an egg. Yeah, I could use an egg. And here's an egg. And once it's, in order for it to be used, you have to break it. If you want eggs to eat, you have to break the egg. But once the egg is broken, you can't go back. Can I get someone to help me out? Casey, can you help me out? Come on up, man. Come on up. Here, go ahead. Come up quickly. A little faster. Come on. Here's Casey. Now, Casey's, if I could try to pick someone a little more athletic, but, you know, at least he'll do for now. Okay. All right. So here's Casey. All right. Just stand down there, Casey. Okay. And I'm kind of attached to my egg here, but I wanted to just kind of see if you could catch the egg and keep it from being broken, okay? And have to be fairly quick, all right? But think you can do that? So whenever I throw the egg, you just catch it and keep it from broken, okay? Okay. This is gonna be fun. No, so whenever I throw the egg, whoo! Come here. No. I'm old. Remember? All right. Here. Hey, he kept it. Is that all right now? Man, this is okay. You can use the egg. All right, here's sitting on the counter. Okay, honey, we're going to eat eggs. No, you have to break it. Put it on the skillet there. Once you do, hey, you can't replace it. Oh, not bad. And just you have to keep going and you got to watch out and never do. You know, this is fun, actually. All right, you're free now. Fly. Oh, pretty good. He's pretty good here. All right, this is going to go pretty good. Ready? My chickie. Hey, you're pretty athletic there. I was hoping you'd help me out, Casey. Could you just go ahead and put it back together for me? No. Go ahead. Thanks a lot, Casey. You can have a seat. Go ahead and give him a hand. You know, you couldn't put it back. Well, maybe we just need somebody a little bit more experienced, you know, to help me out here. A little bit more. If we could have a preacher, that would be great. Just want to get your Bible ready and kind of just set it to the side. You ready? Okay. Here you go. Here you go. Oh, yeah. Pretty good. No. Could you walk it back up? Walk it back up. Just walk it. Oh, yeah. Touche. All right. Brother Will, hands are full. How about Brother Will? Do you think we could?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dr. Bill? You know, I think a doctor could help put the thing back together. Would you? They weren't going to let me throw it at them. Just one time? Just one time. I have enjoyed preaching here. Maybe I shouldn't do that. That's a little too good. You know what? I used a hard-boiled egg the second time. I was smarter. You know what? In order for that egg to look like this again, we'd have to go back in time. There's no way. There's no way you can put it back. It's just, that's disgusting. It's just all broken there, shattered. You can't go back. Okay, God. All right. Here's my life. Okay, you know, here. I want to give it to you, but no, I know I was just emotional at that time. I want to take this piece back. You know, part about going to Christian college. No, that's pretty far away. And I don't want to leave mom and dad. You know, it's expensive. You know, I don't want to take that piece back. And you're trying to put it back together. No. Once it's broken, it's used up. The idea is not to go back. No retreats on giving your life to Him. All right, God, here, I give you my body. I made a decision. Several in here have already, I'm sure, made a decision saying, "Dear God, I surrender my life to you." What you've been doing is trying to pick up the pieces. You're never going to be able to put it back together. You're trying to go backwards. Don't pick up the pieces again. I know, my music, and all. I know it's been a while. I made a decision about that, but no. I want to take that back. You're taking back other areas, you know. No, I want to get this one back. Here's my friends. I know they haven't been the right influence, but you know, you're picking up the wrong pieces and you're trying to put things back together. And here are my future plans. Now, Brother Chris, I've got some big plans. I could play ball. I could get scholarships. I could get music scholarships. I could get some educational scholarships. But just saying, "Dear God, here's my life," even if it means Christian college, why don't you say, "Okay, no retreats, no one going back. I'm not going to take back what I've given to God." Number one, the box had to be broken in order to be used. Number two, the box could not be repaired after it is broken. Number three fact is the box was given at a great cost. The box was broken and given at a great cost. An incredible cost. This type of box, let's look at it. Look at verse 4. You have that? Verse 4, it says this, "And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, 'Why was this waste of ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and had been given to the poor.' And they murmured against her." Why? Because this is valuable. Jesus said, "Let her alone. The poor you always have with you, but me you don't always have." She had done what she could. Let me ask, what is valuable to you? Here is this box, and it's an alabaster box. The alabaster box had to be shipped in from India, we were told. So it's not like, well, I'll just use UPS and get it here. You know, here's next day air, and I'll be able to get it. No problem. Just pay a few bucks. No. We're talking about transporting a box via camel or whatever, hundreds and perhaps thousands of miles from a different location. It had to be shipped in from India. And then the perfume in the box as an entirety was worth the 300 pence. You say, I have no idea what that means. What's 300 pence? Well, 300 pence would have been, at the time, about a year's wage for a working person. I don't know if it's an average. I don't know if it was high. I don't know if it was low. But just a year's wage for a working person. I don't know if the guy had a family or not. I don't know what it would be. But what would be a year's wage now? Where it's not poverty level, but where it would be making ends meet. Several of you come from ones, you say, yeah, my parents don't have much at all. We don't have a whole bunch of things. We come from a poverty level, and there's not much, but your parents most likely, even in those cases, you're making $25,000, $30,000 a year. Some would say, no, you know, I don't know what my parents are making. Some would easily make $45,000 or $50,000. Just one person income. Some would have double incomes. 90,000 perhaps. 100 plus. An entire year's wage in one box of perfume. An incredible cost. Now what's valuable to you? What is valuable to you doesn't always mean monetary. Doesn't always mean put a money sign. I'll tell you what's valuable to you. Whatever is valuable to you is the thing that you're holding on to. Whatever is valuable to you is the thing that you're keeping. Whatever you're keeping in your life and not giving over to God, that is what is of value to you. And that is what you need to say, okay, God, I'm going to love you more than I love the stuff. What is it that you would hold on to that would be valuable? We mentioned the Christian college, being willing to go there. We mentioned worldly ambitions. I want to do this, I want to do that. Maybe for you it's making money. And you look through and you're getting ready to take SATs or ACT and tests and different things. You're doing that and you could start looking through it. Hey, if I do a good job here, I could go into different degrees and different areas of business. You start looking through the list. I remember doing that myself. And I was looking through the list of things. I said, look at all the things I could do. I wanted to be a businessman. I wanted to be able to walk around downtown areas in a nice sharp suit, go to lunch, and come back, have a nice office. I don't know exactly what area of business, but just make some good money. You know, be a businessman. You know, push the pen, maybe administrate a little bit. Oh, that'd be great. You know, that's what I wanted to do. I thought, you know, I don't know what area, but that a good, cushy, nice paying job, yeah. Maybe some of you have money. All right, already right now, you're eating up with money. Now that's the thing. Because it buys stuff. It buys the things that you want. Some of you, not one time, I said, dear God, I give you my life. Not one time have you ever said, dear God, what do you want me to do with my life? What is it that you want me to do? What's your will? Show me your will. Show me what it is. Tonight, why don't you say, okay, I'll give it. I remember I was attending a service. It was a revival service, and an evangelist was preaching. I was 17 years of age. I was saved already. But I had been battling God's will for my life. I thought maybe God had been calling me into full-time Christian ministry, some sort, maybe preaching, but always in the back of my mind I said, no, that can't be me. I thought back, okay, that's me. God's wanting me to do that, but man, I am so scared. Such a shy personality. I couldn't do it. No, I couldn't do those things. No, I'd always dismiss it. I always just say, no, I can do some area of business. I can do something else and please God, I'm sure. And God was working my heart at least at that point just to say, dear God, I'm willing to do whatever you want. If it means full-time Christian service, fine. If it doesn't, and I'm a businessman, fine. It doesn't matter. Now I want you to, I want to do what you want me to do and not what I want to do. Now here I was sitting in the service that night. There's a few hundred people in the auditorium as the evangelist preached. I remember the passage, but I remember him preaching on giving and surrendering your life to God. So how many here would say that is true? That's what you want. You want to give your life to God. Nothing held back. No reservations. No retreats. No going back. No regrets. Say, dear God, I want to give you my life. And here it is. I raised my hand. As I raised my hand, I said, okay, would you come in the invitation? And when you come, would you pray with someone? Would you pray with the pastor? In that revival service, I stepped out. I was over like in that section there. Wouldn't be in this auditorium, in another auditorium. I came down the aisle and I met a pastor. And there at the front, we prayed. And as we did so, I remember going out to the van with the youth group, and this pressure that had been on my shoulders all this time was lifted off. I had such peace and I had such joy. At first, I thought, man, I had not experienced this. I felt so good. I thought, maybe I did something wrong because I'm feeling so good about this decision and feeling so good about giving my life to God and say, dear God, I'm giving everything to you. Nothing held back. I remember praying at that time. You know, God has taken care of me every single day of the ministry. And He'll take care of you. Whether it's being a preacher or full-time ministry, whether it's not. Tonight, just say, dear God, I want to be willing. I want to make a valuable investment. I want to take whatever I'm holding on to. That's what's valuable to me. It's what I'm keeping right now. You name it. Your friends, your music, your dress, your attitudes, your things, whatever it is. Say, dear God, I want to give it all to you. Say, okay, I want to make a valuable investment. No. Investment? Everyone around said, no, don't do this. You know, this is a waste. He said, this is a waste. Look at the verse here. Look at verse 4. It says, and there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? This was an investment. You're just throwing this stuff. Just might as well just pour it down the drain. This is terrible. This isn't a good investment. Oh, yeah, it was. It's the best investment that she could done. In fact, the Word of God says, look at the next few verses. Look at verse 8. It says this. She hath done what she could. Let's say that together. Look at verse 8. Let's read verse 8, just that phrase. Ready? Verse 8. She hath done what she could. Let's do it one more time, a little stronger. Ready? Verse 8. She hath done what she could. Well, what is it that she could do? She may not have had a lot of abilities. She may not have had a lot of different things. But the one thing she did was this. What she had, she gave to God. What she had, she gave to God. She had done what she could. Don't trouble her. Don't talk back to her. No, leave her alone. She had done what she could. What she had and was valuable to her, she gave it to God. Tonight, have you done what you could? What is it still in your life that you haven't given over to Him? Tonight, say, dear God, I'm going to give it to you tonight. I want to give it back to you because I know it's an investment. Others may say, no, don't make this waste. Friends may laugh. Family may question. So you're going to do what? You want to go to church 3 times a week? You want to read your Bible? You want to pray? You want to give your life to God and do His will? Is that what you're talking about? What's this His will business? Full-time Christian ministry? Preacher? What is this? And they'll question. And they'll say, it's a waste. No, it's not a waste. It was a great cost, but it was not a great loss. She gave it, and it had eternal dividends and a great investment. If we took a piece of steel, this is several years ago, if you took a piece of steel that would just simply be worth $5, you take this piece of steel and you start cutting it and breaking it and to form it into the shape of a horseshoe and sold it, that one piece of steel that was worth $5 is now worth $10. Several years ago, if you take that same piece of steel that was worth $5, and instead of cutting it into a horseshoe, you cut it into several small pieces and make hundreds of small needles out of it. Perhaps needles for machinery or large things, whatever the case is, but you're making hundreds of needles, and that piece of steel that was worth $5 would now be worth $350. If you take that same piece of steel and cut it even smaller into hundreds, even thousands of small, delicate springs made for expensive brand name watches, the worth would now be not $5, but $250,000 from the same one piece of steel. The only difference is one that's not broken into small pieces is worth $5. But when you keep breaking it and breaking it and breaking it and keep breaking it and smaller and even smaller. Okay, I'm giving this area. I'm giving this area to you, God. I don't want to give this. I don't want to hold anything back. I want to give this area to you. And then He can take you and He can take a life and He can take a body and use you for greater investment than you could ever see. There are so many people that have given their lives to God throughout the years, and they could say no regrets. One man was named Bill Borden. Bill Borden was born into a wealthy family. His family started the Borden Milk Company, multi-million dollar enterprise. His life story is one who left wealth and gave his life for the mission field of the Chinese people. When he graduated from high school at the age of 16, he was already a millionaire because of being heir to the Borden estate. At age 16, for graduation present, his parents gave him a trip around the world. In spite of all his wealth, Bill wanted to serve God as a missionary. One of his friends expressed great surprise. He said, quote, "He's throwing himself away as a missionary," end quote. In other words, what a waste. In response to this, as a high school student or just graduated, Bill wrote two words in the back of his Bible. Two words he wrote in the back of his Bible. He put no reserves. No reserves. I'm not going to reserve anything back. I'm going to give all to God. He attended Yale University. While there, he started a small prayer group before breakfast, which resulted later in 1,000 students meeting every morning. He was on fire for God. He didn't lose sight of what God had called him to do, and he wanted to serve God right where he was, right then. They would have different Bible clubs and reaching out to different people and trying to explain salvation. They would mention, who wants to take the drunkard over here? Who wants to take this person? And Bill would always say, I'll take him. I'll take him. He wanted to reach people, no matter how poor they were. Upon graduation from Yale University, Bill Borden turned down some extremely high-paying job offers. And in response to this, he wrote two more words in his Bible. Underneath no reserves, he wrote the next two words. No retreats. No retreats. I'm not going back. I'm not going back. I'm already going the direction. I'm at college here. I'm going to be a missionary. At the time, Yale University was training for ministry and such. And he's going the right way. I'm not looking back. I'm not falling back again. No. I'm not taking things back. He had his face set like a flint. He was targeted in on the one goal, God's will for his life. No retreats. While on the mission field, very quickly, Bill contracted a disease called spinal meningitis. Right after he was diagnosed with the disease, 1 month later, Bill died. At the age of 26. One biographer wrote, "A wave of sorrow went around the world. Borden not only gave away his wealth, but himself. In a way so joyous, so natural, that it seemed a privilege rather than a sacrifice." End quote. So let me ask, was Borden's untimely death a waste? Going to the mission field for a short period of time, a waste? Why not living it up? Using some of the money that he had and was offered to him. Was it a waste? No. Not in God's plans. Because underneath the two statements already, before his death, he wrote a third statement and two more words. Underneath, no reserves. Underneath, no retreats. He wrote the last phrase. No regrets. No regrets. Not everyone. Was he sorry that he gave his life to God? No. Prior to his death, God, no regrets. How many pastors or youth pastors would we have here? Could you just raise your hand just where you are? Pastors, maybe even evangelists as well. Could you do this? I certainly don't embarrass anyone, but would you just stand for just a moment? Would you just stand if you're a preacher, if you're in full-time ministry of some sort? Would you look around? I bet you I could ask each of these men, say, "Hey, Brother James, any regrets? Pastor Hersenroder, any regrets? Brother Tim, any regrets? Brother Nick, Brother Barber, Brother Matt?" Could ask the evangelists, any regrets, Pastor Redland, any regrets? I dare say they'd say no. No regrets. How many wives of pastors or wives of evangelists or youth pastors, would you just stand? I know you've given yourself as well to different ministry. If you're a wife of a pastor or youth pastor or someone, would you stand? Could we go around and ask the wives, "Hey, any regrets?" I dare say they say, "No. Thank you so much. You can be seated." You don't have to be in full-time Christian ministry to say, "Tonight, I want to give myself to God." But tonight, I wonder whether you're from Florida or Ohio or Virginia or North Carolina or Illinois, Ohio or here or Florida, no matter where you're from, wonder if you could write three statements in your Bible. No reserves. No retreats. And then later, happily and bold, write it down with all the enthusiasm, with all the compassion, with all your heart. No regrets. Tonight, say, "Dear God, I want to give it all so I can write those, not only in my Bible, but on my life." Tonight, would you just say, "Dear God, I want to give you my all. Whether you've made a decision this week or not, I want to give it to you. Would you be willing to give yourself to Him?"
We pray that you will take the step of faith to apply the principles you have heard in this message. For more audio messages and blog articles by Evangelist Chris Miller, please visit our website at www.faithforrevival.com. That is faithforrevival.com. May God bless you and build in you faith for revival.